Okay, so we're going to carry on with our sermon series. Not Chris Dingleman. No, it's all right. People know it's the I Am series of Jesus from the Gospel of John. And you've probably guessed, if you're very clever, that today is I Am the Light of the World. So we're going to have a really long Bible reading today. You'll be really pleased to hear, children. We're going to go for a really, really long one. You up for it? Can you tell my sarcasm? So I think the reading will come up on the screen. John 8, chapter 12. No, chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So, Jesus again, using I am, and you might remember, for those of you that are listening very carefully, and I should be testing you on all of this, only God can use the name I am. So Jesus, again, when he says this, he's making it really clear that he knew he was God. And actually, this is not the first time that God has been described as a light. You may remember the book of Exodus. In the Old Testament, God finally allowed the Israelites to escape from Egypt, where they were kept as slaves. And after they'd escaped, God led the Israelites through the desert towards the Red Sea. And at night, the desert would have been a really dark, huge and scary, desolate place. And Exodus 13, 21 to 22 says, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." And there is a pretty cool picture of the pillar of fire. I am. So the Israelites followed God. They followed this pillar of fire that was God, so they could see in the dark and travel by night. And Jesus is also saying that those who follow him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But I was wondering, what does Jesus actually mean when he says that? It's one of those really familiar Bible passages. And I would say I follow Jesus, but I've never seen a pillar of fire like that to follow, to guide me. Can I just ask if any of you have seen a pillar of fire when you follow Jesus? Any hands up? Michelle White, she's seen. We don't. In John 9, verse 5, Jesus says again, in a very slightly different way, he says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And straight away, after saying this, Jesus heals a man. It's one of Jesus' most exciting miracles. He heals a man who was born blind. And Jesus heals this man in quite a special and unique way, or you could say in quite a disgusting way. And you might remember the story in John chapter 9. Jesus spits on the ground. He makes some mud with his spit, and he rubs it on the man's eyes. He then tells the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. You can see it there. So we just go back one slide. Yeah, spit and mud. And we may, if we're very lucky and we have a willing volunteer, we might reenact this in a minute. We shall see. So the man obeyed Jesus. He goes to the pool of Siloam, washes his face, and a miracle happens. He came home able to see for the very first time in his life. But what the Gospel of John doesn't tell you, this was the worst possible time to send a blind man to the pool of Siloam. It was right in the middle of a Jewish festival called the Feast of Tabernacles, and the city would have been packed with people. Apparently, the journey to the pool of Siloam was half a mile away down the main street. So think Canterbury, at the height of Christmas shopping. I don't know if any of you have braved it. But imagine wandering down the high street, completely unable to see, with your eyes caked in muddy spit, probably all dripping down your cheeks by now, bumping into people who probably got really cross with you. But amazingly, the man obeyed Jesus and somehow made it to the pool of Siloam, where he received his miracle of sight. John, Mr. Haddock, would you mind being a willing volunteer? Unless anyone else would like to have a go. So, maybe should we go down at the front? I'm going to put a tablecloth down for the sake of the carpet. So, just imagine a few hundred years ago, a few thousand years ago, and this poor guy was born blind. He's not actually even going to see what Jesus is doing. And I'm not going to spit on the ground. I think that's one step too far. But just imagine, Jesus has spit it on the ground. He's picked up the mud and he's made a sort of paste with it. And the guy's probably like, what is going on? And then Jesus...
I trust you, Rachel, it's okay.
Smears it on the man's eyes. Imagine what he's thinking now. What would you be thinking if this were you? What would you be thinking? Jesus is not explaining what he's doing. There we go, mate. Now I want you to go half a mile down the street of Canterbury, right? And I want you to go and wash your face in the Danejohn Gardens, in the river down there. Okay, I know you can't see, but off you go, and I'm not coming with you. Bye. Let's hope he's all right. See you, John. So there we go. And the guy went and washed his face. I mean, John's remarkably obedient, isn't he? If I told him to, he probably is wandering down the street of Canterbury now. Someone will go and find him later. And do you know, again, the Old Testament? The Old Testament predicted that when God came to earth, he would open the eyes of the blind. And one prophecy, remember, prophecies tell you about the future. One prophecy is from Isaiah 35, 1 to 6. It says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And the Pharisees who were watching this miracle, they knew this verse, they knew this prophecy, they knew the scriptures very, very well. So when they saw this miracle happen, they were shocked. They had never seen a person born blind be healed before. And they knew that this miracle could only be done by God, by I Am. So Jesus was not only saying he was God, but now he was performing great miracles that they knew only God could do. But instead of falling at Jesus' feet and worshipping as God, the Pharisees were cross. They didn't want to believe. They did not believe. They couldn't believe that Jesus was God. They came up with all sorts of funny tactics. They suggested that the man had not been born blind. But his parents were there. There were many witnesses to this miracle. Do you know what? It was the Pharisees who were the real blind people in this story. They weren't physically blind. They could see perfectly well with their eyes. But they were spiritually blind. They couldn't see the reality of who Jesus really was. They couldn't see the truth that he was God. Their hearts were darkened. But the man who had been healed, he believed, and he said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped Jesus. He saw that Jesus was God. He saw the truth, and his heart became full of light. The mud in this story represents our sin and our dirt. But when we obey and follow Jesus, he washes it all away, leaving us completely clean from sin and dirt. and able to see clearly who he is, and to see clearly that we can follow him. Did you notice that Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world? And Jesus is not physically in the world anymore after he ascended into heaven. So where is this light of the world? Well, in Matthew 5:14, he tells his disciples, which includes us, you are the light of the world. A town built on the hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit, again represented by fire, to live inside us, his followers. The same fire of I am that guided the Israelites in the desert all those years ago. That same fire lives in us when we obey and follow Jesus. How mind-blowing is that? During this Feast of Tabernacles, giant lights were lit up in the temple during the festival, apparently. Ken's nodding, so that's good. I'm on the right track. It was said that they were so powerful that they lit up the entire city of Jerusalem at night. Quite a sight, I would imagine. And this light that we carry in us is not supposed to be hidden either. We are light carriers, and this means we can take Jesus anywhere into the world. And that's exactly what Jesus asks us to do, to take his light and his fire into the darkness of the world. This week, I braved some Christmas shopping. I saw a man outside the shops. He was in a car park and he was selling the big issue. And the car park was dark and damp, and he was standing outside the brightly lit shops with his hood up. And I noticed him on the way in to the shops, and I felt the familiar voice of the Spirit saying to talk to him. And I ignored that voice. I passed the man again on the way out, heard the familiar voice of the Spirit, and I ignored it. Got in my car. I couldn't ignore that voice anymore. I knew I had to go and speak to the man selling the big issue who was standing in the dark. I walked over him and didn't know what to say, and it turned out his English was pretty poor. So the conversation wasn't really happening. So in desperation, I just said, "Jesus?" And his face lit up. And he said, "Yes, Jesus." And he pointed upwards and says, "I am Christian." And I told him I felt God had given me a word for him. And I said, "God wants you to know this Christmas time that he loves you and he has big plans for you." And again, his face lit up, brighter than any light in the shops behind him. That light within him shone brighter than any light I'd seen all day in the shops. And they're turned off at the end of the day, ultimately. All those beautiful Christmas lights, as wonderful as they are, they'll be turned off. These candles will be blown out. And if I'd not been obedient and followed Jesus to talk to Sam, that was his name, if I hadn't been obedient, he would not have received the message from God that God had for him. So there's a light within us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the same Spirit of I am, that can never be blown out or turned off, even in the most darkest of places. And that fire that burns within us and guides us is a fire that speaks of hope, truth, and life. So I ask you guys, can you see who Jesus really is this Christmas time? Are you following and obeying Jesus? And do you want that Holy Spirit of Jesus to live in you and guide you every day? And you're never too young for that, or too old. Shall we pray for all those things to make sure we are? Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. Would you help us this Christmas time and into the new year to help us see Jesus? Enlighten our hearts. Give us spiritual x-ray vision that we can see Jesus Clean us from all the dirt and sin, Jesus. We want to follow you. We want to be obedient like the guy who walked down the high street to the pool and received his sight. We want that obedience, that when you say jump, we jump. And we just pray, come, Holy Spirit of light and fire, live within us. Light us up, brighter than the brightest Christmas lights. And give us the courage, the boldness and the conviction to take this light of Christ to others who need to know his love and truth. And a special message for some of you today, that you do not need to be afraid. When you have this light of Christ living in you, he can light up every darkness. You do not need to be afraid. In his mighty name we pray. Amen.